Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Drew?
Yep.
Hey, you sound decent.
How about that?
Where are you? In KC?
I'm in Kansas City.
What you doing over there?
Gave a talk at Truman State University.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was 3 hours from here. 3 hours out and 3 hours back.
No, you don't make that. Make the, Anderson, do you have a sound effect that, you remember when the guy would come by an ice cream truck and he would make change with that change belt? Just a couple of nickels coming out, maybe a dime.
No.
Do they have change belts anymore? Remember those?
Yeah, I remember those things. They're like four, each the pennies, quarters, dime.
Vegas has plenty of them.
As a kid, there was something like surreal about a guy with a striped shirt. He'd have the white and red striped shirt, like the ice cream guy, I always remember had that. And he'd lift that front of the shirt up, and there was a huge belt buckle filled with money. And all he had to do was hit this one lever, and a quarter would come out, and the other lever, a nickel would come out. And the thing about it, too, is when you're a kid, you think, I don't know, how much is in there? 100,000, 500,000, maybe a million.
Infinity. It just keeps coming.
Yeah, it was a bottomless quarter belt. If I could only get my hand on one of those belts. Little did I know the tremendous losers that were donning those belts. I had no idea, but I do like the idea of one of those. I think I may get one just to wear it around.
I think my kids really thought that they made money. They created money.
You mean it was like they create, like the manufacturers of the belt buckle made it?
There's a little machine that made money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just pushed on and money came out. Yeah, that's great. Good times.
Yeah. All right. Well, so you're over there in KC. It's good. How's the weather?
Drove through a couple of storms on the way across Missouri. I've been across the state.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's good times, lovey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I quit doing those things, you idiot.
And I literally jumped out of my car and ran up here as you came on the air. So I don't have much time to think.
Yeah. Well, there is a sort of catch-22 of doing those colleges, which is the further away and the farther off the beaten track they are, the more they want you.
The more they appreciate you, yeah, absolutely.
Just the more desperate they are. Those colleges you do are like the fat chicks at the TGI Fridays on a Friday night. You know what I'm saying? They're desperate. They're much more receptive to you coming over and buying them a drink.
Yeah.
UCLA, it's right next door, doesn't want you. There's 1,000 colleges within 200 yards of your house, Drew.
How was your day?
Good times.
Good times?
All good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Working on the house, you know, writing a couple jokes. The usual.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to rock?
Yeah.
I'm picking the calls, right?
Yes, you are, yes.
I'm just going to go in order. Angela?
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to go by height tonight. How tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
5'9". Hold on. Lauren?
Yeah.
How tall are you?
5'1".
5'1". Uh-oh. Yeah. Oh, Steven?
Yeah.
Yeah, Steven's a dude. We shouldn't pit them against the ladies in the height
game, fair.
Right?
Not fair.
No, not fair. Lily.
Yeah.
How tall are you?
5'10".
5'10".
Wow.
Ooh, that's a front runner so far, but Melanie over here hasn't gone yet. Let's see.
Yeah,
Melanie?
Yeah, 5'0". 5'0",
5 foot. Yeah. Okay, you'll be going last.
Okay.
Unless a midget calls up.
All right,
so hold on. All right, so I believe it was Lily. It's going to be a long night because the bulk of the night is going to be me trying to figure out who's tallest to see what order to put them in, okay?
Oh.
Lily?
Yeah.
You're 5'10"?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I've been married for almost a year now, and I work with this guy who's kind of like, he says very sexually explicit things to me, and at first
How tall is he?
He's a little shorter than I am.
Shorter than you?
Yeah.
Okay, so he would go after you.
I think, Adam, when you sit in that big studio by yourself, you become like expansive. You know what I mean? It affects your psychology.
Well, I'm like a prisoner. I have to find ways to keep myself occupied. You know,
oh my God,
to keep my mind busy.
So, how's your marriage going, Lily?
Huh?
How's your marriage going?
It's great. Me and him have a really good marriage. Right now, we're kind of in a rocky part because I work days, he works nights. We have a child.
That's good.
And, yeah.
Are you thinking about doing something with this guy at work?
No. No. I don't even like him.
What's the question?
As a friend. And I've told him, you know, I've told him I'm married. I've told him I can't do that and stuff like that. And he just doesn't let up.
What kind of work do you do? Yeah, what
auto
do you
body.
Want? Auto body work?
Mm-hmm. I think car.
What kind of car?
Any car.
Oh, any car. Okay. Yeah. And is he out, you know, sanding Bondo and banging fenders and you're in the office?
No, I'm out in the shop.
What do you do out in the shop?
I paint. I fix dents.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You load up the airless sprayer and go into the... Well, actually, you guys don't use airless sprayers, do you?
No. We use air sprayers. Air gun.
Yeah, compressor-driven stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're actually spraying it on the cars, huh?
Yeah.
Are you good?
Yeah.
You are?
Yes.
How dare you, Adam? What do you think? One of our callers wouldn't be professional at what they do.
What kind of primer do you use?
Oh, my God.
It all depends on what kind of bare metal we have. Either self-etching primer or some black primer, depending on the color.
Yeah. All right, so you're spraying stuff. That's a decent gig. How much you get an hour?
Flag hour, about $9 an hour.
All right, that's not so great. But listen, Lily, you got to tell this guy to back off or you're going to report him to the Earl of Scheib.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, Johnny Carson reference from 1975.
Wow. Well, yeah. Look, it's against the law for him to do this. He's in getting big trouble. The owner would get in big trouble if he didn't respond to your complaints. So, come on.
But, Drew, I don't think they can really prosecute those body shop guys because they've sucked up so many fumes over the course of their career that they really.
Interesting.
It's trying to prosecute a retarded person for murder or something. You know, they slam him on the hand, but they don't know they're doing wrong.
Well, he can have defense, but still.
All right, just tell him to stop, or you'll tell your boss. And if he keeps going, you tell your boss. How tall is your husband?
He's 5'12".
Okay.
Between 5'12" and 6 foot.
Yeah, well, 5'12" is 6 foot.
Okay, all right. Well, at least you caught yourself. We have had an answer where they stood by their 5'12".
Yes.
And may have been 6'12". I can't remember. But do you remember that call, Drew?
Yes. Oh, yes, I do.
All right. Now, we could go to Angela on line one, who we know is 5'9", I think.
That's next.
Right. Except for, what about the fellas? What about the gents?
They'll Steven? Have to wait.
Yeah.
Hold on. How tall are you, Steven?
5'11".
5'11".
Yeah.
All right, hold on. I think people may be catching on to this game and lying about their height. John?
Yeah.
How tall are you, buddy?
6'3".
Okay. All right, so John would go before Steven. So should we take, let's take a fella and then we'll get back to the ladies. John?
All right, take John.
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been dating this girl for about 3 months, a little over 3 months. And we haven't had sex or anything. We've just kind of been, you know, doing whatever. I'm 24 and I have one testicle. I've had it since birth. It's not like a defect or anything like that. But I don't know how to, show it to her. I don't know how to kind of bring it up.
All right. First of all, wait, hold on.
Missing one or the one you have?
What's that?
You want to show her the missing one or the one you have?
Right. Well, since one
show her the missing one, but I mean, just, you know, we're getting to the point in our relationship where we want to move on. And
since when is not having?
I've never showed anybody.
All right, quiet down.
Since when is not having an ugly, disgusting part of your body a problem?
What are you saying,
I don't know.
Drew?
I've had it my whole life. I've never really showed it to anybody. So
what's it look like?
A big step for me.
Hold on a second. Hey, there's it. there's an air of boguosity to John. Perhaps maybe it's just in the repetition, you know, where he keeps saying, I know I've never shown it to anybody.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like, well, you're going to, I've never shown it to anybody.
Right. Let me explore this a little bit. Where's the other testicle?
He's 24 years old, by the way.
Actually, it's actually
a sack by now.
It's actually a serious thing. Where is the other testicle? What happened?
I was just born with one.
No, you're not just born with one.
You're not?
No.
But I was. I mean, you can say I wasn't, but I was. I was just born with one.
You've never had that evaluated by a doctor?
No, I've had it evaluated by a doctor, and they just said you were born with one. They didn't say anything about it. They never, you know, they
well,
didn't sound like a
look,
problem. It doesn't cause me any problems or anything. It's just—it's
actually a very serious thing because it's not that you're born with one. It's that one doesn't descend, and the one that doesn't descend stays up in your back where it starts when you're an your fetus, and if it stays there, it can become a cancer. So they should have looked around and see if it's up there, a non-descended testicle. Nothing—it doesn't drop into the sac. It just sort of remains behind. But it can be very serious. Yes, I'm quite serious. I can't understand.
Nah,
I can't.
He's pulling your chain, John. He's a doctor. They do this kind of stuff all the time. Hey, John.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Why didn't your pediatrician have this evaluated?
Well, I had it evaluated. They looked at it, and they just said, you know, you just have one. It's not a problem. They never said that it could be cancerous.
If it doesn't descend, they can break down and become cancerous once in a while. So they usually have to sort of bring it down.
I got to put them on hold so I can talk to you.
Yeah.
Drew,
yeah.
Can't somebody be born with one as opposed to an undescended testicle?
I've never heard of that, but I imagine it can be. But the only way you can prove that is look around for the other one. It doesn't sound like
they've
looked around.
Well, let me talk to John because you guys are having difficulties. Right. John?
Yeah.
Did they look around for it?
What do you mean, did they look around?
Ultrasound, CAT scan.
The last time I was at the doctor to check it out, it was a while ago, but they did some tests. I don't remember exactly what they did, but they did tests, and they said it wasn't a problem. So
what kind of test? What kind of test?
I
don't remember.
I haven't really gotten into it again with them.
Adam, you asked the questions. What kind of tests? Because it is ridiculous.
Did they draw blood, or did they do something that involved, you know, a more thorough test where they put you in a, you know, they did like a ultrasound
or a CAT scan or something.
Yeah, just like I said, the last time I went to the doctor for that.
How long ago was that?
What's that?
How long ago?
I was, I don't know, 13 maybe? I don't even remember, to be totally honest.
I don't know. John, this just sounds bogus.
Okay. I don't know what to say to that.
I mean, put your mom on. Let me talk to her.
I don't live with my mom, actually, so I can't.
Okay. All right. So what is your, okay. So go back to the doctor and make sure to tell them about an undescended testicle and make sure they look for one. All right.
And no one's going to have any problem with the lack of a testy. If you have a problem with it, there are ways of replacing it. There are prostheses that you stick in there. Yeah, they can put prosthetics in there.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah, they put a little glass ball in there. What's it look like? Does it look much different than your basic sac?
I guess the sac doesn't look different. It's a little bigger than, a normal one would be. But it's not, you know.
Bigger?
I guess look.
What side's missing, the right or the left?
It's on the left.
If it doesn't look different, why are you concerned about someone seeing it?
Because we've been together, and I don't know. It's just...
How would she know there was anything there if it doesn't look different? Adam, this just isn't
washing. It's not holding together that well, but I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt, John.
Right.
She doesn't care. Don't worry about it.
She will never even notice.
All right. John, there's something that made me mad about John. I don't quite know what it was. There's this... I don't know. Is this one of those dicky guy things? I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but he was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So go to the doctor and have it checked out if, in fact, this is the case. And as far as women go, the sac, it's like saying, I have a really ugly catfish. Yeah. And you go, all catfish are ugly. No.
That's right.
This one is really ugly, and I'm embarrassed. Who cares? How do you get any uglier than a catfish? No, this one has, like, big lips and long whiskers. And they're all ugly. They're all a mess.
Yes.
That's what a sack is. It is the catfish of
Of body parts.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up, but there's a, I was talking at work about the fish that they used to make an imitation crab out of, which is a heinously ugly fish, too. There's some really fish. There's some really ugly fish. That's where the ugliness comes in the animal world. You know what I'm saying, Drew? You're
talking about the monkfish?
The catfish?
Yeah, maybe it is the monkfish. Anderson, monkfish, is that ugly?
It's the, yeah, it's hideous.
Hideous looking, right? I mean, you know, the thing about the animal world is like, all right, you got your cheetahs. That's a good looking animal. And then it's like, well, you got your hippos, not quite as hot. And then you got your koala bears. It just sort of seem like the Jews of the animal world to me.
Why?
They got that schnoz and they don't move too fast.
I see.
But they're crafty and they're smart. You know what I mean? But here's my point, Drew.
Yeah.
My point is nothing gets too ugly. But in the fish world, look out. That's ugly.
Weird. Yeah.
That monkfish is scary looking.
Especially the deeper in the ocean you get.
Oh, then it's Dr. Seuss. I'm going to find a picture of that monkfish. Drew, do you have a computer there?
Yeah.
Yeah, get a picture of that monkfish.
Yeah,
but
you're not going to see it, though.
During the break. Right. I'll get Engineer Chris. He'll punch up that monkfish. We'll get a nice laugh about that. Hey, let me tell you something, too. With your in your absence, Engineer Chris and I have really been getting on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No talking, but some knowing glances. We've shared some knowing glances, right? There goes another one.
Monkfish kebabs, monkfish
Angela,
fact sheet.
All right, don't monkey with the monkfish.
Oh, you're right. Wow.
That's an ugly fish, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
It looks like those ones from deep, deep, deep in the sea.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, you're eating that ugly thing.
Who?
Oh, okay, so your sack is like the monkfish. I don't care how good-looking the best-looking one is or how ugly the ugliest-looking one is. It's all a train wreck down there.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
It does look kind of like a testicle.
Well, that's not what I'm saying, Drew.
Oh.
What I'm saying is that they're all ugly.
Yes.
You with me?
I'm with you. Man, I'm with you.
It does look. What about a little metaphor here? Come on, Drew. It does look like a testicle.
Just kidding.
Hey, okay, sorry. Yeah. Angela?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah, I'm 19.
5'9". 5'9", yeah, that's fine.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's my situation. I've been with my boyfriend now for about a little over 10 months. Mm-hmm. He's the first and only guy I've ever had sex with. Now, I don't remember quite in the beginning if it was this way or not, but, like, now, it's like I have a big problem getting wet. Now, I'm totally attracted to him, actually probably more so than I was in the beginning of the relationship. I want to know if that's physically possible if, you know, if I could have a problem down there, or is it just something about something else?
Are you on medication?
Birth control, that's about it.
Is that new?
Huh?
Is the birth control new?
No, I've been on it for about 5 months, 6 months now.
When did the dryness start?
Huh?
When did the dryness start?
I don't really recall if it was in the beginning or not. So I'm going to say maybe 7 or 8 months ago. I'm not sure.
So let's say maybe 5 months ago.
Well, probably a good bet. Maybe it could have.
It's the pill.
You think so?
For sure.
Is that the only explanation, or is there could there be something wrong with me?
Well, it's such a common thing. The progesterone and the pill will do that. Are you on pill?
Go have the pill checked.
Yeah, you like the guy you're aroused by him? I'm sure it's the pill.
I got rid of her because I'm now studying people, Drew, and I realize they hear you fine about all the stuff that's more complicated than the questions, but when you ask the questions, they say, because they're stalling for time.
Right. Also, if it's not what they want to hear.
Yeah, you know, like you're talking about low overall and progesterone and all that stuff, and that's fine. They hear they're fine. Then you go, when did your dad leave? And they go,
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a time staller. It's a habit I think people get into. It buys them a little time. It's like,
when did your dad rape you?
Look at Anderson, boy. He's quick. All right, so go get the pill checked out because she was wet before and now she's not. And the only thing different is the pill and she's totally attracted to the guy, right?
There you go.
Okay. Oh, boy. Do we have to talk to a dude?
No.
Steven over here is, he's 5'10". Let's talk, we're going by height, but I feel like Melanie, poor Melanie over here is never going to get tended to, so I'm going to go over to her. Melanie?
Yes.
You're 5 foot?
Yes.
I like a short gal.
I know.
You do?
I'm just saying. The petite girls are cute.
Yeah, they're nice. They're solid.
I mean, my boyfriend's tall, so I don't see why he's complaining.
Yeah, that's good. What's up?
Okay, well, my problem is that I was with my boyfriend for 2.5 years, and we just recently broke up about 6 months ago. We have a 1.5-year-old daughter, so we kind of try to keep it cool for her, for her sake at least. Mm-hmm. And we've been kind of hanging out a lot. He had a drug problem before, and he had stopped having it. And but then supposedly, due to the problems of why we broke up, he got back to his habit again. And I was abused as a kid, and the guy was never locked up, and he doesn't live that far away from me. So when I ran into him, he's like,
"Whoa, whoa. Who abused you?"
My stepfather.
Stepfather.
It's actually a really messed up situation. How he's my stepfather?
Well, how is he your stepfather?
Well, my mom was really stupid. She was married to my dad, and he had a stepbrother, and she kind of messed around with him, and he's technically my uncle because him and my dad have the same mother. They just don't have the same father.
Wait a minute. He's your mother. He's your uncle and your father?
No, he's my uncle and my stepfather.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, my mother, like, she cheated on my father with his stepbrother.
Yeah. Wow. Well, your mother was abused.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Chaos.
She claims she wasn't, but I'm pretty sure she was because I don't see how something like that is even
possible. How's Grandpa? How's her dad?
From what I hear, her dad was great, but her mother gave her a stepfather, and I guess he never really abused her sexually, but he kind of, like, came on to her, she said.
Her mother gave her a stepfather?
Stepfather.
Wow.
12th birthday. Some girls want a pony.
When he abused me, that's her excuse. Like, well, I always told my mom, you shouldn't judge me because.
Listen, thank God you cranked out a kid.
Yeah.
A goofball.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. What is the energy to keep the S train a rolling in effed up families?
I don't know.
What is that compulsion? You cannot have any more kids, Melanie.
Yeah, I know. I mean, right now, my daughter is, like, my heart right now.
Good. Thank God it's a girl.
Yeah, thank God she's... thank God she's a girl, but the only thing that goes...
Well, not for her, but just for society.
I hope she doesn't ever suffer for what I ever went through.
Well, you know? She already is. She don't have a dad.
Yeah, I mean, she has a dad. He's there, but he's kind of messed up because...
Yeah, drug addict dad who's around sometimes.
Yeah.
That's not a dad who's there.
She's already suffered.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry for yelling at you, but
she
has already suffered for what you've went through because you got victimized, and then you hooked up with a guy who was essentially a bit of a victimizer. Now you brought another little girl into the world, and now she can thus become a victim. Hopefully, not to the extent
were. Yes, right.
Yeah. It's all
but
relative.
I understand. What scares me right now, I think the reason I really called was that I still see my stepfather. He kind of knew the situation that I had a really messed up boyfriend and his drug problem. That he says, "Do you need money, you know, for your daughter?" Because I know he has a drug problem. And I was like, "No." And he just kept, dropping off checks because he knew where I lived. Mm-hmm. And I did use the money for my daughter. My boyfriend was still using the money for his drugs.
Oh, boy.
And my point is that now he'll say, like, "Oh, well, you're probably sleeping with him for money." But then again, when he needs money, he'll be like, "Well, can you ask him to let you borrow some money?"
Sleeping
with your stepfather?
Yeah.
Your boyfriend is accusing you of sleeping with your stepfather?
Yeah, with him for money. And I was like, you know what? You've seen
him. All right. Quiet. Listen to me. Your stepfather still married to your mother?
No. They split up.
Okay. How long did he abuse you for?
For a while, actually, when I was like 12. And I told my mother about it, and she just
Of course. Your mom's a victim who turned into a bad person,
Your
mom's a good example of someone who gets victimized and never gets any help, and then just becomes worse.
Yeah, and it happened to I was about 15 because that's when I went into high school and I talked to a counselor there and
Okay, so listen, Melanie.
Yes.
Here's the thing. You're remarkably well put together for someone who's been through what you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you've made a few mistakes along the way.
Yeah.
So let's just prioritize here. The guy, the father of your child, bad guy. That was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need him in your...
I don't really... I think that's where my fault... I think that's where I kind of, like, down myself. I don't really look at him as a bad guy, because at one point...
Okay, he's not a bad guy. He just does bad things repeatedly.
Yeah.
Okay? Call it what you like.
Guy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, listen. The car's not a bad car. It just breaks down all the time. The car's a good car. It just doesn't run. That's a bad car. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know. Yeah, look into the guy's soul. Yeah, I guess you scratch under the skin of everybody. Oh, we're all God's creatures. No, and in his heart of hearts, he means, yeah, okay, everyone means well. Everyone's a great guy. We're all God's creatures. This guy accuses you of banging your stepdad who sexually abused you, says, you know, you're a whore for taking the money and is going to go do drugs instead of take care of his kid who he's abandoned. He may be the world's greatest guy.
Not behaving like one.
And by the way, Mother Teresa could have been a C. Do you see what I'm saying? She could have been the world's worst person.
But
how come no one makes that argument?
Yeah.
How come no one defends great people? Oh, that Mother Teresa, bitch, horrible, black soul. Well, of course, you know why you don't? No one does it. Doesn't make sense.
Right.
How could it make sense? Someone who does all that good couldn't be a bad person. Someone who does all that bad couldn't be a good person.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well said.
We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes, sir.
Drew, do they call it Missouri over there?
You know, I've been running around so much, I don't think I've heard the word Missouri since I arrived.
Mm. All right. I was cool with the rove. When are you coming back, buddy boy?
Tomorrow, dude.
All right, okay. We're looking forward to having you.
I can't wait to see you.
Can't wait to be back with you. I'll be thinking about you tonight.
Yeah, I bet.
Okay. I was just staring at monkfish during the... I love an ugly fish, boy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I love. I love an ugly fish and a fat cat.
Mm.
I like a fat dog, too. Like, I like it when a lab gets morbidly obese. Like, there's nothing better than a blonde lab that's super fat. And the people are always like, yeah, we got to put him on a diet. I'm like, eh, let it ride. And they're like, well, yeah, but it's not good for him. I'm like, so he dies at 9, he don't make it to 12. Meanwhile, you're enjoying a big fat dog the whole time. It's better.
Oh, God.
All right, Drew, I'm hearing an echo over there. Is that something you can correct?
I don't know. Ask Chris or Anderson.
All right.
I don't know.
Pretty much
Chris says no. And let's keep moving. Let's see. Let's talk to a dude. Alex over here is 6'1", so we'll talk to him. We're going by height again tonight. Height. And you have to be honest. And I can tell by talking to you how tall you are. Alex?
Hi. Adam.
You're 22?
Yes, I'm 22.
Yeah, what's up?
I have a big theory about your doubt, you know, about the about the grandma thing.
The Mexican grandma?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not the it's the who.
Oh, yeah, the who. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Whenever you call, his name's Robert, right? Or what's his name? Your friend?
Who? Oswaldo?
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Whenever you ask her, you know, the grandma, she's gonna say huh or who, whatever. You know, she's gonna be pointing at Oswald, or you know,
yeah.
She's gonna be pointing, you know, signaling he has a phone call. You know, he can be like playing video games or eating or reading whatever, you know. And
so she's giving him a little beat, a little warning that something's coming.
Yeah, like pointing the finger, you know, saying somebody's calling you, you know. And I'll tell you that from experience. My mom still uses that whenever I get calls from like telemarketers or like people, you know.
Oh, so you think it's a Hispanic way to give their youngins a heads up?
Yeah,
it doesn't exist in other cultures. See what I'm saying? Like, you're saying we haven't caught on to this?
Well, I'm guessing, yeah, because I'll tell you, my mom does it still.
Is she Hispanic?
Mexican, yeah.
Mexican, that's better. All right. I was just being polite.
Oh.
Okay. All right. So see, I always thought it was a way of buying time, of stalling myself, but not pointing at the person. Just like when our callers say, "What? Huh? What? Huh?" They heard it the first time. Just gives them a little extra time when you repeat the question. I mean, life would be easier that way. If you're playing Jeopardy and Alex Trebek asks you a question, it'd be nice just to say, "Huh?" and have him say it again while you were thinking of the answer. I like the who part, though. That was like, how many guys you know named Oswaldo? All right. Where are we going here, Drew? I'm going to pick the tallest chick. What do you think about that?
Something new.
Oh, come on, Drew. All right. Let's talk to Krista, who's 5'5". Krista?
Kristen,
yeah. Sorry. You're 20. What's up?
I've been hanging out, dating, I guess you would say, this guy for about maybe 2 months. And we are sleeping with each other, but I want to know if I should continue this relationship that we have or don't have and see if I can get something out of it or if I'm just wasting my time.
Hold on a second.
Getting something out of it.
Drew, you monkeying with that computer of yours?
No, I just sat down in a chair. It sort of creaked.
I hear keyboards.
Not me. No, it's just, this is chair. I pulled right. I did this. And I
okay, said, take it easy. Take it easy now. Let's fix that echo. Unless you're looking up monkfish. All right, so Kristen, you guys are just sort of sex buddies?
Kind of, but like we're the only people that we hang out with. Like he calls me every single night. He calls me, not I don't call him.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to get out of it?
Well, I want a relationship, not right now, but hopefully to get one. And I just want to know, like...
No, wait a minute. What? You want one now.
You want one with this now. Guy, yeah.
But if he's not ready for it, I'm not going to push him into it.
Well, if he's not ready for it, you'll be hurt and disappointed.
But, like, what should I look for if he wants to, like...
When you say to him, I want to get further on in this relationship, that's when he'll tell you what he feels.
Well, how do you know you're not... How do you know you're not boyfriend and girlfriend now?
Yeah, maybe he's ready to go.
Well, I've talked to him about it, and just it seems like from girlfriends he's had in the past that they've kind of just been like he works a lot, and they don't understand that he doesn't have time, and I totally understand. But, you know, I'm not going to be able to see him every single night.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. How old is this guy?
He's 19.
He's 19. He's got a 20-year-old. He calls every night. He has a lot of sex with. He doesn't want
to. He works too much.
What's he do? What does he do?
He roofs. He's in construction. He's part of. He works for his dad.
Yeah, he's up there on that roof, slinging that hot mop with that tar on it. He's miserable. His brain frying up there.
Didn't you say that's the lowest of the low?
Ironically, roofer, lower than drywaller. You understand? Let me explain the lowest. The lowest is the hot mopper. That's the guy who tends to the liquid bucket of tar. All right? Like, here, Drew, here's the beauty. You see those kettles. You see the one that, you know, you can't breathe, you're choking, it just sits at the bottom. It sits at the bottom of the structure there, and it's got that long sort of snorkel tube that goes up to the roof.
Yes.
And that kettle pumps up liquid tar. Oh. And it fills a bucket, and they take that bucket, and they literally put a mop, a regular mop, into that bucket, and they hot mop, they tar mop the roof. And here's the thing, and this guy's in Washington, so he's probably okay, but imagine... You're out in Chatsworth. You're out in the valley. It's the middle of the summer. It's 120 degrees, 117 degrees, and you're standing on a flat roof in the middle of some industrial park. Okay, sounds bad, right? Here's the kicker. We're going to start pumping up some liquefied tar, some tar that's about 220 degrees, and then you can just carry a bucket of that around. Is that like did Beelzebub invent this job?
But here's why I don't believe. Wait. This is why I don't believe what this guy's saying. He's saying he's too busy to go out with this girl who's 19 or 20.
No, he's full of
because
crap.
He's busy hot mopping. Come on, that's ridiculous.
Here's the whole deal, and Drew have talked about this many times. When a guy's in, and here's this thing. Let's talk about this for a second, Drew.
All right.
Can we talk?
Well, when I can we do it in front of everybody?
Let's talk in front of everybody.
Okay.
Okay. Guys, society believes there's many reasons why guys don't want to be in relationships. You know, I'm thinking about my career. I'm focusing on school. I just got out of a relationship. I just don't want to be tied down right now. All of that is out the window if a guy is head over heels for somebody.
Yes.
Now, there's a small percentage of guys that have serious trouble and difficulty with commitment. Even those guys, all they do is have a series of failed relationships in which they committed.
Right.
They've been divorced six times.
That's different, though, than commitment is different than marriage in guys' minds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Guys can commit to a relationship with no intention to get married. Career and all that stuff does apply 100%.
All right. So, ladies, when you hear a guy say, I'm just not ready to have a girlfriend right now.
He doesn't like you.
I just got over another relationship.
Here's what you hear.
He likes you enough to
have sex, yes,
but not enough to actually legitimize the relationship and take you out. Of course. That's what it is. He likes you 65-70%. But that's
about it.
I get the feeling that most of the girls know that and they don't want to hear the answer.
Yeah, and they can't do that. So they really don't believe that that's what a guy is thinking. In other words, if they're having sex, they're having sort of an emotional experience. Very hard for them not to.
Right.
And so to have a guy just stay there and not eventually develop feelings, which some guys do eventually,
right?
That's almost sort of like incomprehensible.
I'll put it this way. 99% of guys could have sex within hours of a pet dying.
Hours?
Within minutes. On the pet. Actually using the
cat
to prop up the ass of whoever they were humping. Whereas women, average would be like 2.5 days.
Oh.
If Snowball died. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. It could be a lot longer.
Okay. But that was the average for
two. Might be a violent crime, though, Adam, if it were in the presence of the dead.
All right, I'm not going to get into that. I know what Drew's looking for. We're going to take ourselves a little break. I'm going to go look for more monkfish on the internet.
Good times.
We'll be back after this. Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew in KC, Kansas City tonight, everybody.
You know, I've been too busy to have a meal. I haven't had a meal. Well, I guess I did in Denver today. But I just scrounged up, you know, the typical radio station dispensing, you know, snack machine.
Yeah.
And they had, like, these salami sticks. I thought, oh, I've gone to absolute the lowest point to try to get something to eat. They're so good.
Oh, really?
I can't believe it. Oh, my God.
It's hard to F up salami.
Wow.
God knows people have tried over the years, but there's good salami, but even bad salami only gets so bad.
I guess so. And plus, it's dried, it's petrified, it's good forever.
Yeah.
How bad is it going to get?
Let's see. Next week, Sarah Rue, she's the star, the redheaded star from Less Than Perfect, is coming in here. Bob Guinea, the star of The Bachelor, which I caught Monday night, and seems like a good guy. Bruce Campbell, who is sort of a cult film star, although The Evil Dead, which is one of the movies he was in, which is one of the all-time horror movie classics. Drew, of course, you haven't seen it because I've seen that, and we couldn't possibly have seen the same movie because then we could talk about it on the air.
Right.
That's how I know the movies you haven't seen.
Right.
I've seen them.
Right.
But The Evil Dead, very, very good movie. Anderson, who did that? Who was it was Scorsese?
Sam Raimi.
Did Sam Raimi do the first Evil Dead?
Yeah, the first one, the second one, and the third.
Oh, who? Sam Raimi did Army of Darkness, too?
Sam Raimi, he's Spider-Man now.
Right. But didn't somebody do the first Evil Dead? Didn't somebody
Let me look. I'll look into it.
There was like a Scorsese. Not a Scorsese, but a, I don't know.
You thinking Oliver Stone, the Conan of the Barbarian?
No, I don't think it was that. Look up the first Evil Dead there for me, buddy. Anyway, Bruce Campbell is the star of all these aforementioned movies, and I'm excited to meet him. Cheap Trick is coming in here next week, which is, again, does not get their due, that band. They were like a crossover band. They did rock. They did, like, new wave, and they're all weird and good. So I'm looking forward to them. So good times for next week. Yes, Drew.
A quick topic that I'm obviously obsessed about is my book, Cracked.
No.
And listen. No, listen, listen. No. And I'm so frustrated with the book buying public buying just crap. And my book is good, and I want people to read it. No. Wait a minute. Just stay with me for a second. Somebody today said, no, you didn't write it to enough for the masses. And I thought to myself, no, it's good. That should be enough.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
They go, no, you got to write something like Dr. Phil's diet book. That will sell lots of money. I'm like, no, I don't. I want to write something good that will make difference for people.
Yes. No. No.
Help me, please.
No, I'm trying to agree. I'm trying to agree. I just don't. I don't know when to say yes and when to say no. I say no. You say yes. You start talking about Phil. I say yes, and now you want me to say no again. I'm trying to be supportive, Drew.
Thank you.
All right. So, Dr. Phil. Yes.
No, I'm just saying,
I mean, no. No.
My book. Yes. Sign on Amazon.
I mean, yes.
Damn book. Read.
Okay.
It. Support.
It's important to Drew, everybody. Hey, poor Drew. He busts his hump in here every night. 10 years he did this show for free. Still be doing it for free if he hadn't met me. All right.
Effectively.
let's see. We got Carly, who's 5'3". We got Steven, who's 5'10". Gets nauseous when he beats off. He's been on hold for 59 minutes. Let's talk to him. Steven?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up? You get nauseous when you jerk off?
Yeah.
You can't eat it, baby doll.
Do you have any other problems?
Like when I'm having sex with someone, it's hard for me to actually come unless I feel like I'm doing something wrong.
No, I mean, are you bipolar? Are you on medication?
No, I have diabetes.
Diabetes, that's interesting. Has it been out of control?
No. I haven't checked.
Mm-hmm. And do you actually vomit after you beat off?
I have once.
Oh. Drew, if I vomited after I beat off, I'd be like 90 pounds.
Yeah, you'd be like a bulimic.
I would. Be like Karen Carpenter.
Do you think that nausea is emotionally based or it's some sort of biological reaction?
I don't know.
Are you religious?
A little bit. I mean, to a certain extent.
Not too much? What religion?
I'm Christian.
All right. Your parents, you love them? Anyone do anything weird to you? Any babysitters touch your ding-a-ling?
Yeah.
Oh, Adam. Bingo. Okay, well, this
isn't
heavy.
I'm smelling bogus now.
Really?
What happened?
When I was, 9, I was, molested.
By who?
My brother.
Your brother?
Your biological brother?
Yeah.
How old was he?
He's 5 years older than me.
And did this happen more than once?
Yeah.
What happened to him?
Huh?
He
was on a lot of drugs.
Yeah, see, they can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, Steven, you got to get some therapy if what you say is true. And I'm not sure that it is, but on the other hand, you don't think it is because I'm right.
Yeah.
Thank you. You just eat your salami. When you come into town, I'll give you a taste of my salami. How about that, Drew?
I can't wait. Finally. Yummy.
All right, Steven, if you were molested, then this is the cause of your nausea with your masturbation, and you're going to have to get some therapy for it.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Right.
But I don't know. You know, guys do go bogus, but they usually don't go bogus with the molestation and the brother. It's kind of weird. It's like talking about your mom's dead or something. It's kind of...
Yeah, but if your brother's the one who put you up to it or something, you know, he's sitting there goofing off with him.
No. You just can't. You can't believe that I may be right, Drew.
Oh yeah, you're always right.
Thank you. All right, let's talk to Melissa over here. She's the tallest of all the ladies at 5'3", believe it or not.
Wow,
Melissa.
Hi.
We're going by height tonight, and even though you come in at a paltry 5'3", still taller than any other gal on the board.
Cool.
Yeah. What's up?
Okay. So I started having sex with my boyfriend, and the first time I had sex with him, I was like a day away from ending my period. And since then, every time we have sex, I bleed, but not like immensely, but it's like noticeable on white sheets.
All right, so you have some mid-cycle bleeding, and that's commonly stimulated by intercourse. It's not an uncommon thing. It's more common when you're on the pill. You on the pill?
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. You on the pill, Melissa?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Are you on the pill?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
All right.
Are people not hearing me tonight?
Drew, people don't really listen when you talk.
I guess not.
Yeah. And when you're not, you know, sitting next to me, I'm, you know, I'm kind of like your listening muscle.
Right. You're my, yeah.
Here's the way we should do this show. It's like you should just write down stuff on a little slip of paper and slide it across the console to me, like mid-cycle bleeding. And I'm like, Melissa, you have mid-cycle bleeding. And then they'll answer.
Read.
You know what I mean? Well, we'll come up with little things like mid-cycle bleeding will just be MSB.
Okay?
Or MCB. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you an interesting story about screwing that up. Drew and KC, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Engineer Chris just said while I was looking at Bruce Campbell, looking for the Evil Dead and Bruce Campbell's webpage, he said, he kind of walked up to him and he goes, you're on. And I said, you got to tell me when I'm on, you know, a little before I'm on. And he goes, you got 5 seconds. And it turned out it was more like 8 seconds. So you're off the hook, kid. Yeah. You got 5 seconds. No. All right. Well, that's I'm going to take a leak, maybe number two. And then swing by the vending machine and make myself up a little Orville Redenbacher's. You need anything? What are we down to now? We down to about 4.5 seconds, or where are we at?
Speaking of your Duke again, did you figure out what your wife was calling about last night?
My wife was calling because she didn't want to go on the air, but she wanted to tell you that. She yelled at me the other. She doesn't.
That's
like
the funniest thing of all. But she yells at you. I love the whole image. People get to see that.
She doesn't like me peeing in the sink. Okay. And I tell her that you first off, you knew what you were getting into with me, and that's, you know, that's what I do. That's who I am.
You know
what I mean? It's like wanting me to change religions or start rooting for another football team. You know what I'm saying?
To stop peeing in the sink. How dare she? I'm outraged.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So she said, she says she does a lot of complaining while I'm asleep oftentimes. And then what I do is I yell things at her when I'm asleep that she finds entertaining later on. Because I'm actually at my best when I'm asleep. I'm funnier than I am when I'm awake. People who listen to the show could tell you that. She said, I don't know, she got up early in the morning and she went to the bathroom and she was disgusted or something. And she came out and she said, do you have to pee where I brush my teeth? And I yelled back, do you have to brush your teeth where I pee? And I don't know why she found that amusing. So now she tells everybody that story.
Do you, it's very funny. How is it she knows you have peed there? Do you splash?
I don't know.
I'll remind you that you gave me a whole crap load of grief for splashing onto the toilet seat one time.
Yeah.
Did you splash onto the drain board where your wife does her morning?
No, she's fine. You occasionally find a pube on the edge of the sink or something like that. Sorry. Drew, ever since you told me that, there's two things.
That urine is sterile?
You told me that urine is sterile. It's pow. Game on with whizzing in the sink.
Yeah, but your sack's not sterile. That's Amazon jungle.
Yeah, I usually just that it's a petri dish. I just set that right on the sink. I set right on the edge.
Oh, for God's sakes! And my God,
it's good times. I'll move my toothbrush on occasion. I'll clean things up a little bit. I'm not that worried about it. I'm just not.
No kidding.
I never got sick about it. I eat stuff off the ground. People make way too much of that stuff. I don't know who's buying all these hand sterilizers and these sanitary wipes. And there seems to be a thing that's going on. I know we're getting away from the comedy of me urinating in my sink, but we're a little bit obsessed with germs and cleanliness, and there's other things we need to focus on, and this isn't one of them. And I think society or Madison Avenue has gotten everyone convinced that we're living in this environment that's just riddled with germs, and if we could clean them up, everyone would be healthier. I don't buy that crap. Too many people are taking antibiotics and using that antibacterial soap and all that nonsense. Please. I don't believe that stuff does anything. Just live your life, everybody. Pee in the sink, eat stuff off the floor. If something tastes bad, just you get a piece of cheese that's got some mold on it, just scrape it off and eat it.
Well, mold's
no big deal. Yeah, mold's fine. True. As a doctor, is that stuff overdone?
Well, probably in a, you know, in certain situations, but for the larger public health perspective, no, probably not.
Well, but what you about know? This stuff where it's like this actually cleans and disinfects the air in your home?
Well, that's ridiculous.
But women are walking around spraying stuff everywhere, and it's all this stuff, all this household stuff. It's killing germs. Everything's killing germs.
I think what you're getting at is that we respond to those things that massage our fantasy rather than things we really need to respond to, like right now. Keeping mosquitoes the hell off of us so we don't get West Nile virus.
Right. We get here's what it is. We can't control everything, and it drives us nuts, so we get obsessed with things like killing germs and wiping things down and sterilizing everything. Meanwhile, those people are sick more than anybody I know. They have mental conditions. All these people are allergic to everything and always claiming, always on antibiotics and always got something from somebody. BS. You're all weak-willed pussies, right, Drew?
Well, good times. Here we go. More calls.
All right. I'm trying to figure out now who's tallest.
Well, just take some calls.
No, I'm going by height tonight, Drew.
I know you are.
Oh, Bernardo. Bernardo is 5'9", but Michelle over here is 5'9", and that's a lady. We got to talk to her. Michelle?
Well, she trumps, yeah.
Talk to me.
What's that?
Talking to me is better than Bernardo.
All right. You're 22. What's up?
I'm 22. I don't know if it's really a problem, but I can only climax during anal sex.
Ooh.
See? Aren't you glad I talked to Michelle instead of Bernardo?
Wow. kind of a weird problem. I don't know. I don't know if it's normal. I don't know what's going on.
Is it only... you can't masturbate? You can't... No, or nothing?
No. It's only anal.
So that's the only way you've...
I just... Nothing works.
How did you discover this?
My new boyfriend that I've been with for a year and a half just tried anal sex. I have never had a vaginal climax. I don't know how you say that, but I've never been able to that way. And noticed that I was able to anally.
Most women that have a climax during anal sex are multi-orgasmic already. They have it with anal with genital intercourse, no problem.
Really?
Yeah. You know, this is... I'm thinking about her poor boyfriend in one of those sort of help Mr. Wizard kind of situations where, you know, 8 months ago he's trying to talk her into anal, and now that's all he gets.
He's like,
help Mr. Wizard. I don't want to be a cornholer. You know what I mean, Drew? Like, yeah, I could see a guy really pushing for it, but it really... It would take a bad turn if your lady said, all right, that's it. That's what you want. That's all you're given now.
That's not all. You know, I still like to do, you know, vaginally, but every girl wants to climax, so.
Sure. How many times a week do you go for the,
several. I'm going to say about 3 times a week. I'm a busy girl. So.
Drew, you know what I'm saying? For a guy, is that kind of that's a commitment, right?
That's a challenge, yeah.
Yeah. Let's
Poor
just gotta
guy, I know.
Climb that Bandini Mountain every time. All right. Another old reference.
So is there something that I should do?
It's just another, you know, sort of facet of the spectrum of sexual responsiveness in females. You know, we thought we heard everything, and now here's another
right.
one. You know, just
right.
further to confuse men.
That's just you. Does he wear a condom? Does he wear a condom?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, all right. You're wearing a condom like you're putting on a latex glove before you reach down a disposal to clean something right? That's the reason you wear a condom when you're doing anal, not for protection.
But it is also protection. That's stuff that goes back and forth there. But what does she do when this relationship ends, though, Adam? That's the more intriguing part.
Interesting
of
that you use the term ends.
Yeah,
I had, well, my previous boyfriend, he was just extremely too large to have anal sex.
Oh, that's nice.
So
that's sort of, yeah.
It's kind of sad that he's smaller. So maybe,
make sure you make that point abundantly clear to your man.
Oh, no.
I hope he's listening.
But
that means she has to choose, should this relationship not work out, her next partner, in a way the field expands, but it becomes more specific, more narrow.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right.
She can't just be with any guy now.
No, I can't. That's great.
Yeah, well, all right. You'll know whoever you're with, you'll know it's love.
Yeah, that's true.
And the guys will be, think about the guy, they've hit pay dirt, the small penis guy.
Yeah, well, listen, let me tell you something. Small penis guys really have an advantage in the anal department, which is, I'm not going to mention any names, but I got a couple of buddies that ain't too big downstairs and enjoy the back door.
What are you
and they've been able to work them into what would be one night stand experiences.
Oh my
you know
God.
What I mean?
Who are you talking about?
Give me some initials. I don't want to get anyone into trouble.
Initials.
How dare you? How dare you?
That is so funny.
How dare you? The point is it's less obtrusive, and you're able to use it a little more often.
It's you, isn't it, Adam? You're able to sneak it in. It's you.
Nah, how dare you? You know, that's not my way. But what about this, Drew? I mean, obviously, we talk about this all the time, but the vagina was meant to be penetrated.
And expand. Yes.
And expand and all that.
Yeah.
The anus, I don't know. It was never really meant to be a sexual orifice.
Probably not, yes.
Well,
it was meant
probably
for excrement.
Not.
Probably not, yes.
Well, I mean, the mouth wasn't really necessarily designed to have a penis put in it, but it seems to work fine, and there's some any long-term problems, right?
And yet the mouth is sort of meant to fluff and prep for the delivery, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's all about procreation and evolution, so.
Right. So the anus is really out of the equation.
Yeah.
All right. So, here's what I'm asking.
If evolution goes forward.
That's what I'm asking.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
oh
your kids,
God.
Kids, Drew, you know?
Oh,
they could have huge, open, dilated anus. Ani. Just trash can size ani.
And the mouth and the vagina will become one.
Yes, that'd be nice.
Of course.
Sure. It looked weird when they were chewing their food, but other than that, I think that would be fine. I think most guys would be okay with that. Yeah, and so what will the woman of the future look like? So
just huge
anus, and the mouth and the vagina have come one. So it's like, hey, you just belched up a kid. Be something like that?
Well, right, we haven't...
I'm gonna do a rendering. I'm gonna do a couple sketches when you come by.
Thank you.
Come by Sunday. We'll show you that. All right, let's talk to Bernardo over here, who's 5'9". And
did we answer Michelle? Michelle, I guess we did. Just told her she was okay.
She likes anal sex. That's fine.
It's good times.
She's good times. Yeah. Bernardo.
Yay.
You're 19.
Yep.
Yay.
This one's for you, Adam. I have a question. I was wondering why women get mad when you look at other girls.
Well, they do. Guys get mad when women look at other guys, don't they?
Like,
it's just we don't notice that they're looking because we're not paying attention to them.
Well, see, I go to concerts a lot. See, I'm a big Insane Clown Posse fan.
Oh,
yeah.
And, like, there's, like, girls that you wouldn't even believe. And, like,
you pansy!
Yeah. Everybody stares. And I'm the only one that gets yelled at for it.
All right. Well,
no, you're not. No, you're not. First of all. Secondly, it's not that you stare. It's how you stare. Because guys have a tracking device. Their eyes cannot help it, at least when they still have testosterone coursing in their veins. But you can do it in a way that doesn't hurt the feelings of your girlfriend.
Other thing, too, is women realize that guys instinctually, fundamentally, don't want to nest.
Yeah.
And I think they believe it's their job to sort of keep their eye on this animal that's always, it's like if you have a dog that's always trying to get out of the yard, you have to keep an eye on him. You're sitting in the kitchen doing the dishes. You're looking out the window. You're keeping an eye. Where is he? Is the gate open? Did he tunnel under something? It's a constant vigil they have to, a vigilance they have to keep guys from not straying. And I think that's kind of, if you think about it, Drew, think about, you know, how we always talk about how guys are sort of, really genetically not really built to stay with one person, and that we have to sort of be broken a little bit. And that's fine. That's good for us. Fine. But women over the years, over the course of history, must have also had to evolve to break us.
Absolutely.
And to be more effective at doing that, right?
Oh yes, that's true. There's a biological anthropologist named Lionel Tiger who says that throughout human history, women have tamed men, literally.
Yeah, so maybe this is just part like sheep herding dogs, or just seem to herd all the time, no matter what it is. If it's a flock of geese or a bunch of sheep, they go after them and put them in a circle. Maybe women over the years have been bred to do this.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you.
You know, our listeners need to go buy my book. I'm watching it drift on Amazon. It's 37 now. Come on, guys. Show me some love, please.
Drew, see, I told you I had that computer on, didn't I?
I just put it on, yeah.
You lied to my face.
No, I just put it on.
You lied to my face, even though you're 2,000 miles away. What time is it in Kansas City?
It's 1:14. Good times. It's okay, though, because I started at 3 a.m. Pacific time.
Good times.
Yes.
What time, what is it, 2 hours over there?
Yeah.
Yeah?
2 hours.
What is it, a couple thousand miles away, KC?
Yeah. Sort of
1,800 miles?
Straight down from, basically from Chicago.
All right. Well, it's good times. All right, let's talk to Carly. I like that name. Carly?
Yeah?
You're 21.
Yeah, I had a question. It's mainly for Dr. Drew, but I love you anyway, Adam. I just had a question about my boyfriend is a recovering heroin addict, and he's on Suboxone, and he's been on it now for a month, and he has no sex drive. So I was wondering if that's related to Suboxone, and also I was just going to ask your opinion of the drug.
This is the from buprenorphine, Buprenex?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I hate it.
You hate it? Why?
Because it's like a short acting methadone, basically. It's just putting him back on another opiate.
Okay.
And he's got to come off drugs. He can't. All the opiates suppress sex drive, and you know he's got to be opiate free. And it's nice that it creates an office based sort of option for detoxing people from heroin.
Uh-huh.
But there's all this focus on detox as though that's the big thing in heroin. That's nothing. The problem with heroin addiction is the rehab, the treatment, the staying off opiates the rest of your life. And for that, he needs to be in a highly structured environment for at least 3 to 6 months and focus on his recovery. So when he comes up, when he gets off this drug, he is going to have to work his ass off in recovery in order to stay sober.
So would you recommend him staying on it right now and getting counseling, like heavy duty, when he's off of it?
He needs to be in a sober living. He needs to go to a residential program. He needs to be somewhere highly structured, because when he comes off it, he's going to feel it. So he's going to feel awful.
I think his plan is, the doctor that he saw at the clinic was saying to stay on it for a year to get him away from heroin and painkillers and stuff.
Yeah, I know that's what they do. Follow the directions.
What's your recommendation? Because I would trust your recommendation.
Follow the doctor's recommendation there. That's my recommendation. We don't fully know all the impact of this drug. It looks like a nice option, but to think of it as the solution is a mistake. He's got to be in recovery. Because he'll just go back when he stops using it. He will.
All right, now, let's see. I'm going to give you a choice here, Drew.
Yeah.
You want to speak to Lauren, who's 21, desires sex all the time, never satisfied? That's Engineer Chris's favorite.
Well, how tall is she?
She's 5'2".
Okay.
Then there's Angel, who's 5 foot. I don't know that there's ever been an Angel over 5'3½", by the way. 5 foot's considered rangy for an angel. She's 20, married 2 months, been in many bad relationships, once out already. She's been on hold for 60 minutes. We may talk to her, although Lauren, who's
Lauren. Lauren's 5'2".
Been on hold for 88 minutes.
She's 5'2".
All right. She's taller than Angel.
That's right.
You know, if they were playing basketball, she'd be a power forward and Angel would be a guard.
Them's the rules.
All right. Lauren?
Yeah, I'm actually 5'1", but...
Oh, I'm sorry. Still
right.
Taller
she's
than
right.
Angel.
Yeah, she's
all right.
Good.
What's up, Lauren?
You said it. I just feel like I'm always sexually frustrated, even when I'm in a relationship. I never feel like I'm getting enough. And I heard you say the other night that, like, that's weird because, like, women's sexual peak is supposed to be in their, what, 30,
40? No, I didn't say it's weird. There's a couple possibilities. Do you have orgasms?
See, sometimes, and sometimes I don't. Vaginal, though, not...
Well, that's one possibility. The other is when people have been sexually abused, they always crave sex, and they can never be satisfied. That's one of the sort of curses of that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Did that happen to you?
Excuse me?
Did that happen to you?
No, actually. Mm.
Are you any history of bipolar illness in the family?
No, I mean, I self-mutilated for a while. I guess that's...
And you were not sexually abused? Were you physically abused?
What?
Where was the abuse? What kind of abuse?
My father was in prison for 4 times.
For what?
Different occasions. Drugs.
And did he do anything to you?
Excuse me?
Did he do anything to you? Did he do anything to you?
No, I smoke pot, but I mean, that doesn't count. I mean, does it?
Not if you're not doing it every day. Did he do anything to you or one of his friends do anything
to
you?
Oh, no. God, no.
No, true. He's just in jail 4 times. Hey, Lauren, do you have a boyfriend?
No. I mean, I just got out of, like, a pseudo-relationship 2 weeks ago. Because I was in school and I'm taking a semester off, so... But I'm back home.
Well, why'd you get out of the relationship? Just because you moved?
Well, yeah, he's in Connecticut.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I should have known that.
Oh, sorry.
Were you interested in the guy?
Yeah. Him. I mean, well, no. Yeah, but not, like, for...
It's a little love line reenactment. So, go ahead.
Were you interested in the guy?
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah.
But no, really? Not really. But
no, not really. Okay. Lauren's been through a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, with her horrible incarcerated dad. Yes?
Yeah. Not really. Well, yeah, no. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. She's all over the map. So yeah. How about, Lauren, how about a little therapy? How about you read Drew's book, Crack?
Wait, why does that need therapy? Like, I'm not, like, upset about it. I'm, like, I'm frustrated, but I'm not...
Well, don't worry about it. But the fact that you have had a very seriously chaotic and traumatizing family system will make it difficult for you to have meaningful, intimate relationships. It may make you look for things like sex or drugs as a way of regulating, a way of managing your feelings, and you'll see. If it does, then you need help.
Okay.
All right. Listen, go to the shrink, goofball. You got screwed up. Can you do that?
That costs money.
All right. Jesus Christ, everybody. I'm over everything. I don't have to go to anywhere. I don't need that rent-a-friend. Yes, you do. You all need it. Go talk to him. Go work something out. Start jogging and listening to classical music, right,
Drew? Can, yeah, or you can read. I do get into this in more detail in my book, and it does. What was her name?
Her name was Geraldine.
Well, maybe I can send her a book.
Really?
Yes. We now have books. Is Lauren there?
Yeah,
Lauren's here.
Okay, but is Junior Lauren there also?
Junior Lauren.
No,
Lauren,
Junior,
quiet.
Junior producer Lauren.
Okay, yeah. Lauren, we're going to take your phone, your address, and I'm going to send you a copy of my book, okay? Mm-hmm. Because it goes into great detail of stories about people who've been traumatized and what they need.
Okay. Okay, and I'll tell you what you people need. You need to take some walks, do some exercise, listen to a little classical music.
That's for the mood, though. That's for mood, but for getting over these sorts of interpersonal issues, it takes a lot.
You got to do
it.
Look, here's the problem. You got to do a little work, especially if your dad was in the jug. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a little break, Drew.
All
I want you to really think about your attitude during the break. All right.
I've had a bad attitude?
No, your attitude's been fine, but I want you to think about it.
Okay, I will think about it. Yes, sir.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, Adam, I was listening to the public service announcements, and there was one on the President's Council on Physical Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still subject kids to that. Public humiliation. Who can do pull-ups? Who can do sit-ups? Who can do push-ups? Before the musculature in the body is developed to be able to handle that. And, you know, the kids that can do 8 pull-ups end up not being the athletes later in life anyway.
Yeah.
You ever notice that? And there's all this stuff about, should we be detecting obesity in kids? Might make them embarrassed, might humiliate them, and yet they subject them yearly to public humiliation. Obviously, the overweight kids get singled out in front of their peers.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, and it does
start... And what
does
it assess? Nothing, right?
it does start early, which is when you're a kid, you take a random group of 9-10-year-old boys, a small percentage of them, or one or two of them, will be able to do 15 chin-ups. And
that's
then there'll
right.
be a percentage of guys who can't do it. And it really has nothing to do with anything.
But and then there's
other
the overweight
than that's
kid
how they are.
That can't even
oh, yeah,
hang
there. Might be there might be a little fatty kid. Yeah, he deserves to be made fun of. Yeah, you're right. You know, but when I played Pop Warner football, I think my first year, like when I was 8 years old, I remember the coach, maybe I was nine, maybe it was my second year. I think I started when I was eight. Second year. Coach brought in a barbell. And he started wow. packing it on with weights, and he said, "I'm going to find out who the strongest kid here is, uh-huh. and who can lift it over their head." Yeah. They just kept doing it.
Huh.
You know who that kid was, Drew?
Ace Corolla.
That's right.
Whatever.
That's right. But then puberty kicked in, and forget about it. Yeah. Everyone else got stronger than me.
Then Chris became so superhuman.
What's it mean?
Hey guys,
doesn't mean anything.
Forget
what's
that.
Up?
Forget that other PSA. Have you heard the new one that I've been
talking
playing?
To me?
No, I haven't heard it.
I gotta play. You guys gotta hear this. It's great.
All right.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello. Can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
I'm guessing it has something to do with discrimination.
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Oh, my God. It's like
yes,
insulting
hello.
Everybody.
My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes.
Yes,
it is.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin,
Christ.
Sex, religion, disability,
that's
or family
right.
status,
more
call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law.
Hello there. My name be Tyronius. I be's wanting to rent your apartments, miss.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Everyone's being discriminated against, Drew. It's a horrible, horrible society we live in. It is horrible. I like it. I love that message, by the way, that constantly just gets rammed up everyone's ass, which is we live in this horribly discriminating society. You want discriminating? Go travel around the world. You go see the warring tribes. Go check out the Asians. See how they treat their fellow Asians. Huh? I'll show you discrimination, please. And every year with the, Martin Luther King's birthday, it's always like, well, we've made some progress, but there's a long way to go. A long way to go. Really? What's going on? Where's the discrimination? Show it to me. Please, everyone, get past it. Move on. Start a life. Stop worrying about what group you're in. Just take care of your kids. Take care of yourself. That's fine. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the pussy white man just staring at his feet all the time, feeling horrible, Oh, we did all these horrible things. I didn't do squat, neither did anyone I know. So let's move forward.
Hello, I'm Lucius.
Said it many times. Listen, I have I got a bunch of nephews that who are half German. Their dad's German. He comes from Germany. Are they responsible for the Holocaust? Of course not. Should they sit home and should they get battered by it every other day about what Nazi sympathizers they are and how they're responsible for all the Jews' deaths? Of course not. It's ludicrous. They had nothing to do with it. It's the same way as 99% of white America. Let's just move past this, can't we? Easy for me to say. I'm just a white guy. I get everything dropped in my lap. Yeah, like when I signed up to be a fireman and it took me 5 years to take the test. It took everyone else 6 months to take because I'm a white male. Yeah, I don't know what I don't know what it's like to be discriminated. Sure I do. Of course I do. Please. I have nappy hair and big front teeth. That's discrimination. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
I'll tell you discrimination. Fat chicks and guys with hair on their back. That's discrimination. Thank you. Let's just get past this and quit pretending. And listen, government, stop spending all the money trying to figure out, trying to uncover the genie of discrimination. It doesn't exist. I'm not saying that there aren't a-holes out there, and I'm not saying there's not racists out there. They're out there. They're out there on all sides. But is are groups being held down because of somebody, some other group? No. Groups are being held down or doing it to themselves. Let's get past this and move on. Yes, Drew?
Let's move on, yes.
Oh, see, Drew never wants to say a word because you can't say anything because you're racist if you point it out. Please.
No, I'm just saying, let's move on. Let's move on.
Oh, shut up, Drew. You're such a puss. You never say less than when I bring this up. And you know exactly what I'm saying. Racism in 2003 is not a problem. And that's not a racist remark. There are groups that do well, and there are groups that don't do as well, and that's because of what they put in. All right?
Well, there's a slight.
Did they have an Asian guy on that as an example of that?
No, but as
how
a result
come no
of,
Asian guy?
But as a result of what,
how come no Asian guy on that on that PSA? Why? Because the Asians are doing good. Why? Because we let them off the hook? Oh, yeah, Asians, let them go. Let's focus on the blacks, the Jews, the Mexicans. Let's focus on everyone. Asians, you'd be okay. No, we don't like anybody. But the Asians work hard, they band together, and they do fine. That's why they're doing fine. Thank you. Shouldn't they have an Asian represented in that commercial, Drew?
Yes.
Why do you think he wasn't there?
Let me make my point that I was going to make, which was that there is things that have happened in the history of this country that take generations to wash out. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Good. We're done. Let's move on.
Wow.
All right. Yeah, I'm not saying any of that stuff is right. I'm just saying nobody was here when that went on.
I know.
My wife wasn't here. I wasn't here. My family wasn't here. My nephews weren't here. No one I know was even here during those times. All right?
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Let's talk to you. But why no Asians or Jews in that? Don't we discriminate against Asians and Jews, Drew?
Yep.
How come they weren't represented in that PSA? Because they're doing good.
Also, because we can't characterize them mean-spiritedly on the telephone.
What? What do you mean? I can. You just get a guy sounds like a Hasidic Jew, like a rabbi on the other.
All right.
What, you don't
you're
think
right.
we could do
you're
that?
Right.
Well, you no, don't
you're
think
right.
we could do Asians? Asians make fun of more than anybody as far as the voice go.
All right.
Come on.
Right. All right.
Yeah. Nick?
Yeah.
Yeah, who was in that group, by the way, Drew? Black, Mexican?
Indian
or Middle Eastern, I think is what they were going for, right? Drew?
Yeah, I thought it was Indian, but yeah, I'm trying to think of the other ones.
It was, but I think they were trying to go for the sort of middle. I think they were steering toward the Middle Eastern. All right.
All right.
Nick?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I'm having trouble meeting the ladies. I go about 6 foot, and I'm about hover between 250 and 260 pounds.
Yeah. That ain't hovering. That's firmly planted between
pretty much
260.
But
yeah.
I mean, I go out. You know, I have a couple buddies that I go out like to bars and stuff with. But
yeah, like, can't get laid.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're a big guy and you're discriminated against.
I agree 100%. But
fat guys have it the worst.
Tell me about it.
I know, but people aren't sympathetic to your plight because they think you brought it on yourself, and you quite possibly could have.
Oh, I definitely could have. I definitely had a hand in it myself. I know that.
Yeah.
But my mom was kind of big. My dad was kind of big.
Yeah, and you're going to be kind of big too.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm sure I got some of the genes, but.
All right. So here's what you got to do. You got to just be in the best shape, whatever shape you're in will let you. And I guess what I'm saying is.
Lose some weight.
Yeah, you may never be 190, but you may be 228.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Now, what do you think?
Exercise,
I mean, you
got to
just exercise and do a little dieting.
I mean, that's for your health anyway. You should be.
Also, Nick, there may be a personality problem as well.
Yeah, that has a hand in it too. Because I was always real shy. I'm never that outgoing with the ladies either.
Yeah, well, look, it's difficult. And look, as a 23-year-old guy, I don't know what you're doing right now, but sometimes 23-year-old guys aren't exactly hot commodities on the open chick market. What do you are you working?
Oh yeah, I work full time.
What do you do?
I dispatch tow trucks for AAA.
Oh yeah, that gets chicks wet. I hear about that. It's like, do you get to talk on a CB? Yes, I do. To the actual tow trucks? Uh-huh. Oh,
that is, well, you know, that's,
yeah,
that kind of sucks, too, because whenever they ask me what I do, they always tell me their complaints about their nightmares about having their cars towed.
Right.
So right off the bat, I'm like,
yeah. Well,
it is horrible what you do.
Yeah.
But you dispatch them for AAA. Right? I mean, isn't he saving lives? You know, people broken down by the side of the road?
Knight in white and shining armor?
Knight in shining armor? Yeah. All right. Anyway. Boy, start talking about race. Drew clams right up. This would be a good way to get you to shut up. All right. Listen. And Drew, here's the problem, too. It ends up sounding like weird dead air, and then it gets like uncomfortable and strange. At least just chime in or something, even if you're too big a wuss to talk about it. You can at least go like, uh-huh, or touche, or hear, or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Nick's got to lose the weight, and being a dispatch for a tow truck company is probably not a, what you call a pea gig. You know what I'm saying? You got to focus. Guys, focus on your career. Focus on making some money. Focus on getting ahead in life. The women will come. All right? All right, we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Oh, forget about that phone number. Hey, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Engineer, on-site engineer Chris over here. What do you think his nationality is?
Mexican?
So that seems where the smart money seems to be there, but I don't know. He got some of that in him, but I'm not
Lebanese?
Really reading it.
Lebanese?
No, now he's pissed.
Armenian?
Oh, he's throwing punches in the air now, Drew.
Hispanic, yeah.
Yes, Hispanic, Drew. Okay. I told you.
Well, I thought you were leading me off the trail there.
Chris is not a good Hispanic name. It's very confusing.
Perez? Who?
Last name Perez?
Yes.
All right. And Chris, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Very confusing. Christopher? All right. Perez. All right. It's good times. All right. Drew, where are we?
You got the computer.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to go by who's been on hold the longest, all right?
All right.
And that's definitely Angel. Speaking of Hispanic, there's a good Hispanic name. Angel?
Yes.
You Hispanic?
Yes, I am.
All righty, what's up?
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous. First time ever calling.
That's all right.
Okay, I've been with my husband now for a year. Mm-hmm. We've been only married for the last 2 months. When I got together with him, I was, you know, I loved him. I still do love him, but it's like as time's progressing. It's like, I don't know if it's just that I'm hitting that one, you know, it's like we'll hit that 1 year mark, and it's because I have a really bad track with relationships.
Why?
I don't know. When I was still in my addiction,
What was your drug of choice?
Methamphetamine.
Oh,
and when
you see, Angel is the number one name for meth addicts. Like, you should be able to sue your parents if they call you Angel and sue them for your addiction or
male or female
or whatever it is. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, male. Yeah.
Even worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how's your recovery going?
I'll be clean now on the 29th for 4 years.
4 years. And how old's your husband?
22.
Why'd you get married so young?
I have a son. I guess a lot of it was the whole reason I actually jumped into marriage was because I have a son. His father and I broke up when he was 2 weeks old. I was in another relationship. We broke up, and then I just decided that my son was not going to have men coming in and out of his life.
All right. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to commit yourself to this relationship. It's probably getting boring and uncomfortable, right? Because it's actually becoming intimate, and that's horrifying to you.
Well,
you,
the thing is, it's like I've cheated on him twice, and it's like
You've only been married for 2 months, right?
We have been together for a year.
Oh, okay. Well, it's been a whole 12 months you've been together, all right.
Yeah. And,
what'd you cheat on him with?
And it's just, it's like, I'm start. Some days I wake up and I'm completely in love with them, and I, you know, another day.
All right,
just,
okay.
What would you like to be single?
Okay, is he, well, you kind of found out what it was like to be single by humping a couple of guys.
He's a nice guy, this guy.
I've actually never been single for more than a month or two.
Yeah, well, look, here, let me tell you something. If you go from guy to guy to guy, or girl to girl to girl to girl, and you say, I've never been single, that's being single. You're just moving from one partner to the next, banging the bejesus out of them. Here's what it's like to be single. You have a whole series of relationships, God willing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You on top of a new guy every 6 weeks is being single. So yeah. You know what it's like to be single.
They last longer than 6 weeks.
Okay, but listen, let me just work things out. Is your husband a good guy?
Yeah, a little lazy, but good.
All right, but a little lazy, you're just building the case. He's a good guy. You can't handle the intimacy, just like Drew said, and you're starting to get weird. Okay. First off, no more kids.
Oh. Yeah.
You should not be a mother.
What are you doing to prevent that?
I'm on the depot shot.
Good. Good girl. Going to send you out a windbreaker. Okay, so no more kids. And then number two, you can't focus on what you want to do. You got to focus on this kid.
Yep.
You got a kid. And you have to not follow your impulses. Because let me tell you about your impulses. They're horrible.
They're bad.
Your impulses turned you into a meth addict. Your impulse got you pregnant as a teenager. Your impulses got you hooked up with abusive guys. You have horrible impulses. So, and your impulses make you cheat. So if you have an idea, ignore it.
It's a bad one. That's right. You have an addicted brain. It's a diseased brain. And so the things that are attractive to you, the things you're driven to do, are part of the disease, and you cannot rely on your brain to make decisions. You've got to check everything out with your sponsor.
All right, get back into the program. Get with the sponsor. Don't break up with this guy and stop cheating, and don't tell him you cheated. That'll just end up breaking you guys up, which is what you want, and you'll win on a technicality.
Of course.
And yeah. Listen, everybody, all you people out there who have horrible ideas, stop listening to yourself.
Yeah.
There are a lot of you have horrible ideas for songs. Don't make them. A lot of you have horrible ideas architecturally. Do not execute them.
I have a heroin addict patient. Yeah, who's learned that whenever he has an idea, he does the opposite.
That's right. It was a great day in the Corolla history when I explained this to my family. What do you attribute your success to, son? You guys. I do the opposite of whatever you guys would have done.
Did you actually say
I did tell them that? Yes.
How was that received?
I still think they felt like almost like a batter that gets hit and walks in the winning run. You know, still kind of feels like a hero. You know what I mean?
That is too funny.
I did explain to my family that I use them as a negative template. You know, whatever it is they would do. I think I've given it to my mom and to my dad.
Both separately.
Yeah. That's whatever you guys, I just think I didn't nail it home, but it was the general gist was, I think, what would you guys do? And I do the opposite. Well, Drew, you can't argue with the results.
Well, look, it's luck anyway. It's who you know, Adam. We found that out a couple days ago with Lauren.
Yeah.
It's who you know. It's luck.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. What else did she say?
My mom lives in the house that her mom lets her squat for about the last 50 years. It's a nice piece of
waiting.
Ass.
She's waiting for her luck to change.
That's right. And my dad lives in a house that his second wife's mom basically bought for him. So their plan, not a great plan, whatever that plan may have been. Not going to hold it against him, but I'm going to use it to my advantage. You see that, Drew?
Yes.
I'm turning lemons into lemonade.
Yes.
That's what I do. And by the way, feel free, everyone, whether it's your own family or friends, find the F-ups, find who's not having success, and go ahead and do the opposite of that. Just like, you know, we always do this in life where they go, we need positive role models. Look around. Find people that are successful. Talk to those people. Yeah, okay, that's fine. But sometimes people don't have successful people around them. They have people that are F-ups around them. Look at those people and do the opposite. It's the same as doing what a successful person would do.
And if you're an F-up, do the opposite of what your impulse is
telling. That's right. That's why we're geniuses, Drew.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to... I'm going for on hold a second least here, and let's talk to Michael. Michael?
Yeah?
Yeah. I hate Michael already. You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
My girlfriend and we've been sexually active for about, I don't know, maybe like 3 weeks now. Mm-hmm. And I brought the idea of a threesome with her.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
She seemed, you know, like she was into it at first. And I asked her if she wanted to bring one of her friends. And I told her it was a girl that I had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And after she found out about who it was, she seemed a little reluctant to do it. But the girl...
Is that a friend of hers?
No, it's a friend of mine.
You know what? Mm-hmm. It's like, I think it's like being bum rushed. You know what I mean? She's probably like thinking, "Oh, we're finally physical." And then he springs this, and she's like, "Oh, that sounds cool." And then he's on to it. I've got this one lined up, and blah blah. She's shocked, probably.
Yeah, it's like being bum rushed if you replace the B with a C.
Yes.
You've only been sleeping with her for a couple of weeks. You're going to try this one on for size? Aren't you scared you're going to offend her? Maybe she'd break up with you?
I don't know. She's kind of into it.
Do you not care?
No.
I mean, you don't care?
She's into it. She doesn't seem like she'd be too offended by it.
Well, I think because you, like
well,
I said.
Why? But you said she's not into it. You said you brought up the girl and she's not into it.
Well, yeah, it's only because when she saw her, like, she knew she had an asshole the size of a mason jar.
Oh, there we go, yeah.
Whatever.
Hey, remember I said I hated Chris yes. One syllable into his call?
Yes, yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, instinct's never wrong about that, are they?
No, no.
All right, see you in hell, Michael. And
he didn't deliver that. He didn't even deliver it in a gratifying way. So
it was okay. It was okay. Right. I take solace in knowing it was on hold for 40 minutes.
We'll
take a quick break. We'll be right back. The show. I want to thank, I want to thank phone screener Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, for doing a job all week long. Although
I wonder if she heard how you abused her last night.
Well, she wasn't here, ironically. Okay. I want to thank phone screener Brian for doing a fantastic job all week long. I want to thank producer Ann for booking the big names. Not so much for this week, but next week. We got some people that not only are good guests, but I'm actually interested in speaking to them, which is a real change of pace. I want to thank Junior producer Lauren for explaining to us how radio works. I'm never going to forget that. I want to thank engineer Chris for doing a fantastic job over here and learning to nod and smile when I tell jokes. And, of course, the magic-fingered one, Engineer Anderson, the Liberace of the potentiometers. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Oh, that Mother Teresa, bitch.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.